But this morning we're doing a standalone sermon looking at who our God is by looking at Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 to 7, on the theme of the immutability of God, the unchanging God. So Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 to 7. Let us hear God's word. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? This is God's word. May he add his blessing to it. Let's pray once again. Oh Father, as we come now to a time to study your word, we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us, that, Lord, you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit says to us. May we learn more about you, and may we stand in awe of our great God. Oh, Lord, be glorified this morning, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, we live in a day and age, a time when everything is called into question. The old is to go away. Tradition, with all its history, is no longer good enough. Instead, we are told we must adapt everything and we must change. Things that remain the same are outdated and useless, we're told. As society changes, so must everything else. I saw this attitude of everything must change being mocked recently when I watched a television show. Now this television show was aimed at a kind of a reality audience where a host would come on and he would look at all the old skills that we used to have and then they would see if modern man could recreate these old skills. Now most of the time modern man couldn't do half the things our forefathers did. But another thing they did on this show is that sometimes they would take an old design, a common design, and they would try and modernize it for today's people. Now in the episode I saw, the host was lamenting that everything today has to change so it can be multi-purposed. He said old items with just a single use are completely useless according to today's culture. For instance, he said, if you take a bike is good for one thing, riding. He said, no, if we're going to be modern, this bike has to be able to do multiple things. It must change, it must develop. Now, of course, he was mocking. But what he went on to do was actually make what he called the Swiss Army bicycle. Now, on this bike, you could ride. You could go for a ride like you normally would. But they said, let's make the most of our ride. So they began to attach different tools to the bicycle. First, they attached a blender, so you could ride and blend up your fruit and your ice cream and milk and make yourself a smoothie afterwards. He said, well, how about we help council out? Next, he attached a weed spray, so you could ride along and spray all the weeds along the side of the road, killing off anything that shouldn't be there. Finally, he said, what if you're a butcher and you have to go to work? How do you sharpen your knife? I know, we'll put a grinding stone on the back of the bicycle so you can sharpen your knife as you ride. Now all this was done with tongue firmly placed in cheek. He was showing the foolishness of society that says everything must change and everything must adapt. He was mocking the idea that people are obsessed with change. You see, people want change and change in technology is not a bad thing. However, when change and that desire for everything to be different comes into our understanding of God, that's when things go wrong. When we take the mindset of the world that says everything must change, everything must improve, and we bring it into our understanding of God, then we have crossed the line. But sadly, that's what's happened today. People have taken this mindset of change and they've applied it to theology. They've applied it to the Bible. They come along and we are told that Christianity today must change if it is to be relevant. We are told that God must adapt and get with the program if he is going to be relevant in our day and age. Yet as we approach the scripture, as we approach the word of God, we see that God speaks and God describes himself as the God who does not change. God doesn't develop as we gain more understanding. God doesn't adapt throughout the years. Rather, God is immutable. That is, he is unchanging. He is perfect, and he never will change. Now, as the world around us changes, we as Christians need to focus our attention not upon the world that is shifting. Rather, what we need to do is focus our attention upon our God who does not change. Even though our society is going in a different direction now than it did years ago, we need to ignore that, and instead we need to stand firm upon the solid rock, our God, who is unchanging. As the world moves towards chaos, we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are to cling to our unchanging God. And this morning I want us to think about these two verses here in Malachi chapter 3 that teach us about our God and his nature. I want us to look at these verses and understand the immutability of our God. Now don't be afraid of the word immutable. It's just a fancy theological term that theologians throw out to make themselves sound smart. It simply means God is unchanging. That's all we're looking at, our unchanging God. So with that in mind, let's begin to look at the immutability of God in verse 6. As we read, the Bible says here, God speaking, he says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." It's a bold declaration, a open declaration that God is different to the world and very different to humanity. We change, he changes not. But why would God have to make such a statement? Why would God have to declare this truth that he is unchanging here in the book of Malachi? Well, to understand why God is speaking this way, we need to understand the context of what is happening in this book. As we approach Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, we need to understand that God has been speaking to his covenant people, Israel. And in the verses previous, what we have seen is that God has been answering some of the objections that his people has made. Now, one of the big objections that people had made was a slanderous statement. They said that God had changed and God had become evil. Now, the reason they thought this is that the children of Israel here in Malachi chapter 3 were living in a dark time. They looked around the world and they saw the evil that was everywhere. They saw the great darkness and they concluded that God wasn't dealing with it. They concluded that God was no longer interested in sin. You see, they wanted God to act a certain way. But when God didn't act the way they wanted him to act, instead of saying God's ways are above our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts, instead of saying that, they concluded that God must have changed, that God was no longer holy, and that God was now a God who delights in sin. That's what they claimed. And here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, we see God responding. God responds to their accusations of evil, yet notice how he responds. He does not respond in an angry tone. He does not say, "Right, if that's what you think, I'm going to wipe you out." He doesn't do that. Rather, God responds to them in a calm, loving, and gentle manner. He reveals truth to them and speaks to them as a father would speak to his children. God comes along and he speaks to these people and he says that I am just and I will deal with evil. But as we see in the surrounding verses, God says he'll deal with evil in his own time and in his own way. And with that, God makes two promises. He promises judgment for sin, but he also promises that salvation is coming. He points forward to the rescuer, to Jesus Christ. But then in these verses that we are looking at this morning, God speaks to a people who are convinced he is different. He speaks to a people that are convinced that he has changed. And in his kindness, he says, "Let me explain a little bit of who I am. I do not change. It is not my character, it is not my nature, for I am the Lord, I do not change. You see, God is declaring here to a people that said, God, you have changed. He declares to them, I will not change and I cannot change. God is declaring that what he was like in eternity past is what he is like when he speaks to them, and it is what he will be like in the future. God does not change, he will not change, and he cannot change. What we have here in Malachi chapter 3 is actually God declaring that there are certain things that he as God cannot do. Did you know that? There are certain things God cannot do. Now before anyone comes up to me after the service and say that's heretical, God is all powerful. I'm not denying God being all powerful. God is certainly all powerful. But God, according to his character and nature, has certain things which he cannot do. For instance, God is holy, holy, holy. That means he cannot commit sin. We are told several times in Scripture that God is not a man like us, so he cannot tell lies. God can't tell lies. He always speaks the truth because he is truth. But then we come to Malachi and God says, I cannot change. I will not change. There are certain things God cannot do due to his character and nature. It would go against who God is. It would go against his fundamental identity for him to change. If it was possible for God to change, if it was possible, it's not, but if it was, the moment God changed, he would cease to be God. For the moment God changes, he would cease to be perfect. You see, change implies that God was either imperfect before the change, or he is imperfect after the change. Perfection, of which God is, doesn't need to change. If something is perfect, it is complete, there is no need to change. And God is perfect. If he changed, it would imply imperfection before or after the change. Think of it like this. Imagine tomorrow you come home from a long, hard day at work. You grab a nice cup of tea, you sit down, you turn the television on, and you get bombarded with more advertisements than TV shows. And as you watch the advertisements, you see this promotion come on the screen saying that a company has produced this product that is perfect for you. And you get taken in by the bait. You go out and you buy the product the next day. It is perfect, apparently. Now imagine 6 months from now, you're watching television again. And the same advert comes on, but this time it says, new and improved. You go, hang on a second. If it was perfect 6 months ago, how can it be new and improved? If it is improved, it can't have been perfect. Change implies that imperfection is somewhere in the mix. You cannot improve upon perfection. And that is certainly true of God. God is perfect. And you cannot improve upon God's perfection. For God to change would mean he either got better or he got worse. Either way, he would lose his perfection and he would cease to be God. God in his character, God in his nature, is completely perfect, and he cannot and he will not change. This is why in our Baptist catechism, it says in reply to the question, what is God? The answer is given, God is spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. God, by his nature, is immutable. He cannot and he will not change. He is the same forever. And that is a grand truth that we need to hold on to, because as our society changes, we need to stand firm upon the God who does not change. But as you think about this grand truth that God does not change, there should be a question starting to arise in your mind. I know when I've spoken to people about the immutability of God previously, a question that comes up is this. Well, if God doesn't change, then how do you deal with the differences between the Old and the New Testaments? If God doesn't change, why is there a difference in how he interacts with people between the Old and the New Testament? There's clearly a difference. We can see that. God deals with people in the Old Testament under a certain covenant in a certain way, but then in the New Testament, God deals with a different people under a different covenant in a different way. Does that mean God has changed? Yes and no. No, God has not changed in his character and nature. Yes, God has changed in how he interacts with people. And there's a very important distinction there. God's character and nature is the same, but the way in which he interacts with us can be different. For instance, in Hebrews chapter 1, we are told that in times past, God spoke to us through the prophets. But then it says, but now in these last days, he speaks to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. God's character and nature of speaking is the same. How he chooses to speak is where the difference is. And when we talk about God being unchanging, we're talking about his character and nature. We're talking about his identity. We are speaking of his being. When he says, for I am the Lord, I do not change, he is speaking of character, his nature, his attributes, not how he deals with us. The way in which he deals with us may be very different to how he dealt with other people. We can even see that in our own lives. How God brought you to salvation is going to be very different to how God brought someone else to salvation. God's character and nature of grace and saving sinners is the same, but how he interacted with you was different. We can see that in the Old Testament as well. In the Old Testament, we have God in his character and nature saying a sacrifice must be given for forgiveness of sins. God requires a sacrifice. That's his character and nature. His holiness says sacrifice for sin is required. Now in the Old Testament that meant you offered a lamb or something similar as a sacrifice. We don't do that today. My wife is on the church cleaning roster. She is extremely thankful that we don't come to church on Sunday morning and sacrifice a lamb. But God's character and nature of requiring a sacrifice is still the same. The difference is we don't offer temporary sacrifice. But now we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God who was once slain for sinners, never to be repeated. The death that he died on the cross and the resurrection that he performed is sufficient to satisfy the demands of sacrifice throughout all generations. God's character and nature of requiring a sacrifice is the same. It hasn't changed. But the way in which he deals with humanity has. Another example from the Old Testament could be the example of the punishment for sin. You read through the law of God and you see all these sins saying if this person does this, they should die. If this person does that, they should die. If they go and do this, they should be stoned. You see all those punishment laws. Well, we don't do that today. But God implemented those laws because he is a God of holiness and justice. That's his character, that's his nature. God is still a holy and just God today. His character and nature hasn't changed. God will still execute sinners. The only difference is he doesn't do it here and now and we're not commanded to do it. Instead, God allows people time to repent, to believe in Christ. And if they don't, then they'll experience eternal death and hell for their sins. God's character hasn't changed, but the way in which he deals with people has. Now I know I'm labouring this point, but I'm doing so for a reason. I want you to see there's a distinction between God's character and nature, who he is and how he deals with us. And that's what we see in these verses here. God doesn't change in his nature. God doesn't change in who he is. For I am the Lord, I do not change. And it's this immutability, this unchanging nature of God that sets the God of the Bible apart from any other claim of deity. You see, when Malachi wrote these words, when God spoke here in Malachi, you need to understand that all the cultures around them worship idols. And if you went to the pagans in that culture and said, tell me about your God, they would tell you that the gods of the pagans were fickle. They wanted people to do certain things, and if they didn't do the right things, then their God would pack up and move to another village, another tribe, another nation. Their God would change, they said. The pagan gods at the time of Malachi were the gods who would change on a whim. They weren't perfect, and as a result, no one ever really knew what their God would do the next minute. One minute their idol, they said, loved them. The next minute they said their idol didn't love them. The gods of the nations were changeable. Even in our culture today, we see the changing nature of false gods. The gods of Hinduism are known for their changing nature. Allah in Islam is a God who changes. I have spoken to Muslims who said they live in fear of Allah. And I said, I don't live in fear of my God. He loves me. He saved me. I will know him forever. And they said, well, we don't know that. He said, in Islam, we could go to be in paradise for millennia. And then Allah could change his mind and say, out you go. I said, well, the God of the Bible says, if I loved you once, I'll love you forever. If I saved you once, you'll be saved forever. There's a difference. You see, the false gods of the nations are demons who change. They are inconsistent. They are not perfect. They are not really God. Yet the God of the Bible, the only true God, the only real God, stands alone saying, for I am the Lord, I do not change. The God of the Bible is not like the gods of any other religion. He is the only perfect God. He is the only true God who will never change. That's why it says in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17, that God is the Father of lights who does not change like shifting shadows. God doesn't change at all. He will not change. He cannot change. For I am the Lord, I do not change. And this is grand, lofty, theological truth that we should grasp and try and understand, even though it is hard for us to comprehend, because we as humans change constantly. I guarantee you, you've changed today. You've changed your thoughts, you've changed your desires, you've changed what you're going to do things. We change constantly. So this is hard for us to understand. But we should be so thankful that our God does not change, because if our God changed, then we are in a world of trouble. We've seen the doctrine stated, God is unchanging, but now we see God apply the doctrine. Look at the impact of the immutability of God upon us in verses 6 to 7. In verses 6 to 7 it says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? You see, God, after declaring that he doesn't change, says there is actually a benefit for his people. And the way in which his people benefit from God not changing is by the fact that his people are not destroyed. That's a pretty good benefit. God doesn't change, so we are not destroyed. If God was a God who changed, then the covenant people of God would have been wiped out. You see, the Lord says here, the Jews at the time of Malachi should be so thankful that he doesn't change, because if he did, they would have been consumed. And the reason they would have been consumed is because as a people, they had been unfaithful to God. They had sinned against God. They had broken his law. Now the people in their sin was not just confined to a handful of people. Rather, we are told that they have been sinning for generations. God says, yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. God is saying to these people that sinning has become the family tradition. Your forefathers broke God's law and you're breaking God's law. They rebelled against me, you rebel against me. Yet God says, because I am the God who does not change, you won't be destroyed. You won't be consumed. Why? Well, the reason they won't be consumed, the reason they won't be destroyed, is because God is faithful when we are faithless. The God who cannot change is faithful even when we aren't. You see, the Jews in this passage are not consumed simply because God is faithful to the promise, the covenant he made with Abraham many years earlier. God is keeping his covenant promise. Since God does not change, then he will keep his promises. If God changed, he could have said, you know what, I'm sick of dealing with you. I mean, you read the Old Testament and we can look at Israel and say, don't you get it? God is kind to you, yet you rebel against him. He rescues you, he restores you, and what do? You rebel against him again. And you go, don't they get it? Well, we can't get too harsh because we do the same thing. But if God had changed, he could have said, you know what, I'm sick of you. I'm tired of you. And I'm pretty sure that's what we would have said. Why could we change? But God says, no, I am the God who does not change, therefore you are not consumed. I have made a covenant, I have made a promise, and I will fulfill it. You see, Deuteronomy 7 verse 9 says, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant. God does not change, and therefore he is faithful. And because of his faithfulness, because of his immutability, his people are not destroyed. They are not wiped out. And as we look at this, we're dealing with Old Testament, we're dealing with national Israel. We should look at this and keep in mind what Romans tells us. These things are written for our learning and our instruction. What can we learn from this? We can look at God speaking to the house of Israel saying, I don't change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. But what does that speak to us? What does that mean to us? Well, the God that says, I do not change, is our God as well. He's the only true God. The promise he makes that he will not consume his people is a promise that we can lay hold of as well. You see, as Christians, we should look at these verses and be extremely grateful. As we see the faithfulness of God in this passage, as we see that God does not change, we should be reminded of the covenant God made with us, the covenant of grace that God from all eternity made with his elect people. The covenant of grace that said, yes, you deserve judgment for your sins. Yes, you deserve hell. But I'm going to love my people. And I'm going to provide a rescuer. I'm going to show grace. The covenant of grace that was revealed at the cross when Jesus died for us and when he rose again. The covenant of grace that we entered into when we repented and believed in Christ. As we see God speaking to the people of Israel in Malachi, we should be reminded of our covenant. And say, God, even though there's many times that I have sinned against you, just like Israel, even though there are many times that I have been faithless towards you since you saved me, Lord, I am so thankful that you are the God who does not change. And therefore, I will not be consumed. We should be so thankful. Our God does not change. And because he does not change, we are not consumed. We can't cut at Israel and say, how dare you, because we've done it too. Since Jesus saved us, we couldn't count the number of times that we have sinned. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ commit sin. It should grieve us when we sin. We should hate it when we sin. But we're frail creatures. We often give in to temptation. Instead of running to Christ, we give in to our sin. Yet even though we are faithless towards him at times, there are times when we spurn his law, God is still faithful towards us. If he wasn't, then we would all be consumed. We would all be destroyed. But the God who does not change, will not change, and cannot change, is the God who speaks to his covenant people, the church today, and says, you will not be destroyed. You see, the mere fact that we stay saved, even though we have sinned since trusting in Jesus, shows us that our God is unchanging and he is faithful. If it was possible for you to be consumed, if it was possible for you as a Christian to lose your salvation, then you would have lost it by now. You would have been consumed by now. But because God is faithful, because God does not change, we will never lose our salvation. All of those who are in Jesus Christ, who are partakers of the covenant of grace which he has made with his own blood, will never be lost. The God who cannot change is the God who keeps you safe in his hands, and nothing can snatch you out of them. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27 to 29, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand." The God who cannot change makes that promise. The immutability of God is the assurance of your salvation. He does not change. He is faithful. God says he will save, and he promises to keep us saved. And since God in his character and nature does not change, we can rest assured that he will be faithful to that promise. We cannot lose our salvation. We will not be consumed. If we could somehow forfeit our salvation, if we could somehow lose our salvation and violate the promises that God has made towards us, then that would demonstrate that God has changed and that he is not perfect. But since that won't happen, we can say our God is immutable, and what he has said once he will hold fast to forever. As Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." The salvation of the believer is eternal because it is the unchanging God who does the saving. He is the one who keeps us saved because he does not change. This big doctrine of God's immutability, of God being unchanging, actually directly impacts our day-to-day Christian life. And it's truly amazing. The unchanging God speaks to us and says, "I cannot, I will not change. Therefore, you will not be consumed." Brothers and sisters, though you sin, know that your Saviour is greater than your sin. He is faithful to keep you and love you. You will not be consumed because he does not change. Christian, do not for a moment believe the lie that says if you sin, then God will destroy you and give up on you. Don't believe that. I've spoken to many Christians who have had that mindset drilled into them from childhood, mostly from the charismatic or the word of faith movement, where they're told constantly, "Yes, you're saved, but if you do something wrong, then bad things will happen to you. God will remove his hand, a blessing upon you. He will take away your salvation, and you'll be in trouble." And Christians get that mindset. And it wears them down, and they become weak and ineffective in their walk with Christ because they're constantly living in fear that if they put one foot wrong, then perhaps God will step down and say, "You know what, I'm giving up on you now." Don't believe that lie. Don't believe it. Ignore it when someone says it. But don't say, "Well, I'm not going to believe that because Josh said I should not believe in it." Don't believe in it because God says don't believe in it. What does God say to those who say you can lose salvation and have it removed from you? He says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, because I don't change, you are not consumed." It's a wonderful promise. A wonderful promise. Yes, you've sinned. Yes, I have sinned. We have been faithless. But he is faithful. He doesn't change. He says, "I've saved you and I'll keep you saved. And I'll persevere with you." you will not be consumed. It's all tied to God's character and nature. And this morning, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian and you are currently being faithless to the Saviour, then this morning I plead with you, return to your Saviour. He is not distant. He is not far. Do not think that your faithlessness has made him to the point where he has disowned you. No, he is waiting for you even now, with arms of mercy outstretched, saying, "You are my child, you are my beloved, I love you with an everlasting love. Come home. Come home." Don't think that he's out there saying, "Oh, I can't wait to beat you down with a stick." No. He has his arms outstretched saying, "I am the God who does not change. I loved you, I rescued you, I saved you. You're not going to be consumed. I'm faithful. Come back to him. He's not abandoned you." But as I say that, let me also issue a warning. Just because your salvation is secure does not mean you have a license to sin. If you hear this and say, "Oh, hang on a second, God doesn't change, I won't be consumed, right, I'm going to do whatever I want," then I would suggest that's a sign you don't know the grace of God. Because if you truly know the grace of God, you have a new heart with new desires. You have God's law upon your heart. You have a heart of flesh. And your delight should be to do his will. If you hear this and say, "Right, I can go off and do whatever I want now," then that may be a sign that you're not saved. The Christian life is to be a life of repentance. It should be a daily warring with sin and hating it because we love Jesus more. It should grieve us when we sin against God. When we're faithless, we should be broken over it. But even though we have sinned, even though we are faithless at times, we need to keep turning back to the Saviour and seeing that he is faithful. That he doesn't change. And he calls us back to himself. So this morning as we finish, let me just reiterate a couple of things. Truths I want you to take away with you and hold fast. First, remember we have a Saviour, Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today and forever. Our God does not change, and because of that we can have confidence. We can have confidence. We can have the confidence that since he does not change, we'll be safe forever. Our salvation is not dependent upon us and what we do, rather it is dependent upon the God who does not change. Take that truth home. God does not change. And because he does not change, if you are his, you will never be consumed. Hold fast to that truth. And the next time Satan comes and he tempts you and brings despair upon you saying, "Well, you've been faithless. Clearly God doesn't know you anymore. You're unsaved." Next time that thought comes to your mind, remember what Malachi said. "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." Our God doesn't change, so the believer will not be consumed. Hold fast to that truth. Let's pray. Oh, our God and our Father, we do thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that you are the God who is unchanging in your character and nature. You are the God who is immutable. Lord, may we worship you for that. May we honour you for that. May we make known your mighty deeds. Lord, for those here this morning who may be struggling with being faithless to you, Lord, may they not see you as a God who is distant and far, a God who is angry at them, but rather, Lord, may they see you as the loving God who has saved them and who now calls on them to come home. And may they return to you. Oh, Lord, help us in the times that we are faithless to remember you, to remember your unchanging nature. Next time we are tempted to despair, may we remember that because of your immutability, we will not be lost. Oh Lord, comfort us with your word this morning, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen.